Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Catch with John Fisher on Blog Talk Radio, connecting life to faith.
We're just trying to get it together, trying to help their fellow man, hoping we can make it better. Do you really think we can?
Welcome, everyone, to The Catch, Blog Talk Radio. My name is Marty Fisher, and I'm going to be the what is that woman's name? Barbara Walters. For the show, as far as introducing people. And obviously, I'm not Barbara Walters, but then again, this isn't 2020. I'm really kind of excited about tonight and that I get to be able to host this show. I'm featuring John Fisher, who, of course, is the founder and pastor of the Catch Ministry, as well as Gunnar Simon, the minister's vision caster, as well as our producer. I'm going to attempt to lead this conversation with both of you, by beginning with two questions. One question for you, John, and then one question for you, Gunnar. After that, don't wait for me to give you permission to talk. Just banter away. I might interrupt along the way with a question of my own, but let me just start out with this question, John. The ministry, the Catch Ministry, bears the words grace turned outward in everything it does, in the daily writings for the Catch, the podcast, and today onto Blog Talk Radio. We know what grace is. We might even know what it is to turn grace outward. But what does grace turn outward look like? Is it tangible? Can it be picked up? Can you look at it? Can I embrace it? Tell me about it. What does it look like?
Absolutely. Well, before I try to paint a picture of it, I do think it's important to not assume that we all know what it is, and even what grace is, because grace is something we talk about, we hear a lot about, but I'm not sure we all really know what it is or have experienced it. I should talk about myself here, because I was a Christian for years, supposedly, before I really understood grace, because what grace is undeserved favor. It's completely undeserved. It's God giving us eternal life, giving us what we do not deserve, and not giving us what we do deserve, which is punishment for our sins. And to be let off the hook like that and to be loved simply for who I am, once that happens to you, I think it eternally changes the way you see other people. And that's the way it goes outward. It has to, because if God has unconditionally loved you, then he's done the same thing with everybody. It's not just a few of us that get this, but he has reached out to everyone. And if that's true, then I need to look at everybody as if they are favorable to God, undeserved, pleasing to God just by who they are. And regardless of whether I agree with them or not, they are human beings with whom God has loved and forgiven, died for, rose again for. And I think, see, once that happens, then you lose all judgment. You lose all condemnation. You lose all sense of measuring yourself spiritually, toward sizing yourself up to other people, because you're at the bottom. You got God's grace freely, and therefore everybody else gets it too. And so we are not making comparisons here. We are simply loving people undeserved as we are loved. And so the way that would look is that it opens up the way we see people and walk with people. That would mean that we could walk with people who we totally disagree with, but we would see them undeserved in grace. And I know we were talking, we're going to talk about this in a minute, but we were talking about the march on Washington after the inaugural, and the women and men who took part in that. And, you know, there could be, there were obviously many Christians in that march, but there are also, you and I know, there are many Christians who think that if there were Christians there, they should have their heads examined, you know, because that's a pro-choice group. They are, you know, probably for gay marriage and all these bad things.
Bad things?
Yeah, because they think are bad things. That's the way someone might think. But if
wouldn't you want to refer to it maybe as an issue that we're looking at and examining versus it's bad?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I didn't want to imply that these were bad things. I wanted to apply the way people were thinking, and that would be a judgmental type of statement, in other words. And yet, if God's grace has come to me, then I give that to everyone. And therefore, a person who are against maybe all those things could also march in that parade and should march in that parade and walk next to people and give them his grace as God has given his grace to us and find out. Guess what you're going to find out? You're going to find out who these people are that you formerly might have stood apart from and judged. So I think that's pretty tangible.
Yes.
It's really the way we treat people.
But being tangible like that means walking alongside and being that actual grace turned outward, not just some words and something, you know, from a universal perspective. You're actually turning out the grace and walking amongst people. And that, to me, is very, very tangible, John. Okay, on to Gunnar. Gunnar, just recently, Gunnar has a post that he writes on about a weekly basis. It's called Thoughts from the Horizon. And I'll give you later the where you can find it. But on a recent post that he wrote from Thoughts from Horizon, from U2's album War and the song Sunday by Sunday, he quoted this before he began his work of writing. And this is a quote from the song. And the battle's just begun. There's many lost. But tell me, who has won? Trenches dug within our hearts and mothers, children, brothers, sisters torn apart. Gunnar, help me understand something. Tell us what you want us to know about these lyrics and how can we move from the place of division that we find ourselves in to grace, and then grace turned outward.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you. You know, it's funny. You know, we've all listened to this song. If you've been a U2 fan since, you know, the 80s. And it's been one of their biggest anthems. You know, remember when the video came out, and as we dig into the song, we learn about, you know, what was going on in Northern Ireland and such. But, you know, for me, the one line in that speaks out is the trench is dug within our hearts, you know, and the battle's just begun. There's many lost, but tell me, who's won? You know, I mean, you know, I'm thinking of this through the lens of social media, which is the modern day arena, right? People are wanting to sign off social media because it's a battlefield. People are getting unfriended, you know, and we just get thrown into this. The battle's just begun, but the trench is dug within our hearts, and mothers, children, brothers, sisters are torn apart. And I think about that one line, and I think about earlier on the song. You know, and I can't believe the news today. I can't close my eyes and make it go away. How long must we sing this song? And And I think about that, and I go, I think we all have a choice. I think we all have an opportunity, but it starts with us. You know, to turn something outward, it starts from within. Grace turned outward. I think we all have to take a look at our hearts and the trenches we've all dug within our hearts. And I think that that's what I'm trying to convey there is this this sense of, like, we need to look within first. And I think for me to be able to really exercise grace, I need to stop and think and have a real discussion with God of, have I received His grace? Do I walk in that grace? Because have I tasted it? Because I can't give it away, and I can't, you know, push it outward if I haven't received it, fully received it. And I know that it says, you know, that, you know, we don't, you know, sin because so grace would abound. But I thank God that grace does abound, because I need it every single day. But so that's where I'm really in that blog post that I wrote was really talking about, I think it starts with us. It starts with each of us. And have we tasted that grace? That, what is that trench that's dug within our hearts? Let's start there. And then from there, you know, we can move this forward, because the last lyric of the song on Sunday Bloody Sunday says the real battle just begun to claim the victory Jesus won.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that what you're saying, you're taking this giant word, this universal word called grace, and you're making it personal. You're saying it starts with us. Tell me something. How will we know when we've achieved it? How will we know when we've made it ours, personal, and it is then ready to be turned outward?
Oh, I mean, I think that's, you know, and that's, I think that's just that personal journey and that faith. For me, personal, speaking for myself, I mean, that's a trust thing and a trust and faith that I have in God, you know, that, you know, I'm forgiven by the blood of Jesus. You know, and, you know, as I continue to hunger and thirst for righteousness, you know, I'll be satisfied and filled. And so I think that for me, what does that look like? I think it's a process in life that, you know, as we continue to walk, you know, that, you know, and we become more like Jesus, and we begin to shine that light. You know, I think it just starts rubbing off of us. I mean, it's a great question, you know.
Yeah.
I know, John, you wanted to interject as well.
Well, I was thinking, as far as Marty's question, how do you know if you've embraced that grace? right away, I thought, well, I think one way you would, one is it completely makes you humble. You are on the verge of humiliated. Really, and the point is, there is, if you think that you are better than anybody out there, then you probably haven't embraced the grace of God. To me, it starts on the bottom rung of the ladder, I remember it. One of my favorite songs I ever wrote was "You're Not the Only One." You're not the only one. In a picture in that song, I have myself in the middle of a sea of humanity, trying to judge who would rise or who would fall, and suddenly I found myself among them, and it mattered little who was right or wrong. You know, it didn't matter. And then all of us looked up at the Lord all the same. We found Him all the same way, and we're all the same level. And boy, when that happens, then you've got it, I think, and it changes the way you see everybody.
Sounds to me like, John, you're talking about stepping out of a place of isolation, that would you think it's possible that God's allowing all of this distraction and all of this discourse and division, possibly to encourage all of us who know the Lord and know grace to step out of that sense of isolation and embrace, as Gunnar said, the lyrics from the song, offer exactly what it was.
That's a great thought.
Touching dug within our hearts, trenches dug within our hearts. I'm curious if maybe we've been living in this very goody-two-shoe, all have all the right answers, know the word inside and out, but in a place of isolation, when he's calling us out into this division, possibly. And the division might not just because of this last few weeks and the weekend and what's going to come forward, but maybe even pulling ourselves out of the isolation to enter into the marketplace, and maybe pulling ourselves out of the isolation into our broken homes, where we might be able to discover other family members who are strangers living in their own rooms of isolation. And that, so the idea of pulling people out of isolation and bringing them into life. I hear that in your songs. I hear that in Gunnar, in the things that you were saying. Does that bring any perspective to what's been going on over the last 2 weeks, over this last weekend with the Women's March throughout the country, and in European cities, you know, throughout Paris, there are so many cities in Europe that also joined this march. What do you think?
I think it's a great
thought,
and it's certainly a way to turn all of this negative into a positive. That maybe that's what we can do here. I think one of the big problems that's happened in the last 20, maybe even almost 30 years, is that we as Christians have allowed issues to overrule people, and we've allowed morality to overrule grace and the gospel, and so we've lost it. And you know, the Christians, there were tons of Christians, you know, men and women in that march, but there are also tons of Christians. There are tons of Christians who wouldn't be caught dead in that march, and probably think all the Christians who were there should have their heads examined. You know, and why is that? Well, it's because they were all pro-choice. You know, they're this or that, and that's because those things have become the issues and not the people. And if some of those people could just, you know, get in someone else's shoes and walk, they should. If you feel that way, then maybe you really need to go to that march and walk in and find out.
You know, I think you're right. You know, I mean, for you know, I look at this and it's hard. I grieve, you know, because I think that there's, you know, we're all made by the same hands. And I think oftentimes we forget we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Sometimes we just have the wrong enemy. But I think that, you know, I ask the question. I think when we're walking in grace and we receive that grace, we're showered by grace, we come to that place and we said, God, I need it. I need your mercy. I need your grace. We seem to then, you know, when we inhale grace and that mercy, it's almost like, you know, getting back to your question, Marty, it's like we exhale humility. And because, you know, I think that, you know, we all get worked up so often in our echo chambers. You know, we get worked up and there's this thing called a hype cycle effect. And, you know, another thing I was writing about, if the mission is outreach, I think oftentimes we fail every single time we fight those we oppose from within the safety of our own echo chamber. You know, and to me, I'm just convicted of that. Where's the humility, you know, as far as having dialogue and conversation? You know, I love what Martin Luther King says. We must, in strength and humility, meet hate with love.
Yes.
So what you're saying, Gunnar, is that we can actually, as believers, be surprisingly emotional about positions and still represent the grace turned outwards. Is that correct?
I believe so. I mean, I think that we all come from different journeys in life, right? We all have different stories. We all got to this place from different places, you know. And I think that if we would just stop long enough, and just, you know, lay down our swords and wash some feet, we might be able to get to. The heart of the matter, which is always the matter of the heart, of where people are and meeting people where they are. Being, you know, for me, I've always said I'm pro-people. You know, first, I'm pro people. I'm going to meet them where they're at, not necessarily where I'm at.
That's excellent. So tell me something. I know that you work with a homeless a great deal. It's a very humbling experience you go through. It's not, you know, bringing a church full of people and buses to the enemy line, but you're there amongst people, and I understand it. You all are washing these people's feet. Is that correct?
Yeah, we have a foot washing, you know, a station along with haircuts and all kinds of place, you know, and just, you know, loving people because people matter.
But you're amongst them. You're not having them. You're not apart from them coming in and giving this marvelous service, like having their haircuts. It's just part of being amongst them. You know them by name,
yeah.
I think. At least you tell me that.
And I'll tell you what, that's the biggest thing I've learned in going down there on the side trail. The biggest thing I've learned in going down and being a part of the homeless, you know, community over the years is that, you know, I want to, if I can just remember their names, because they go the entire week, nobody ever knows their name. If you come back, because people are going down there feeling good about themselves, feeling good about myself, I'm serving, and that's great. But you know what? You know, they may or may not ever see you again. But if you come back again and you remember their name, you humanize them, you put skin on the bones, a heartbeat.
Yeah.
You keep saying a heartbeat. You're reminding me, Gunnar, of another song that you two did from the same album. It's called Two Hearts, and it goes something like this. I don't know how to say what's got to be said. I don't know if it's black or white. There's only there's others that see it red. I don't get the answers right. I'll leave that to you. Is this love out of fashion, or is it this time of the year? Are these words distraction to the words you want to hear? Two hearts beat as one. Two hearts beat as one. Two hearts. What do you think about that? What in relationship with your book have been saying?
Yeah. Oh, John, you want to take that?
Yeah. I think what that song is doing is it's what you were talking about, Gunnar, when you said you're into people. It's bringing people together. And we were talking about the homeless. You know, we've had Jeff Lockett on here twice.
Yeah.
And Jeff and Kelly are homeless, although they now have an apartment, and we've been able to help them get an apartment. And but for years and years,
their own key for the first time
their
in
own
what, 19 years?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. 19 years on the street. But if you know, I asked Jeff on this show numerous times, both those times, I'm sure I asked him, you know, what do we do? What's the thing that we can do that'll help you, the people who are on the street the most? And each time he said the same thing. It was basically talk to him.
Yeah.
That's all he said. You know,
beat his one.
Talk to him. You know, be a human being. You know, exactly. Reach across, find the common ground.
There's always going to be issues. Yep. There's always going to be me disagreeing with you, and I get to be able to, according to you, be passionately, emotionally involved with what I'm experiencing and want to deliver as a message. And still represent grace turned outward without having to be more like Oz Guinness says, you know, let's get in the marketplace and share each other's thoughts respectfully, but interacting with each other with passion and without and still being able to give out the grace turned outward that's been given to us.
Yeah, you know, if I could, you know, jump in there, I mean, I'm thinking if you tell that story, John, and you talk about these guys, you know, I think, again, you know, the core question here is, you know, what is that trench that's dug within our heart? You know, I think so many of us are blind. You take the log out of your own eye and such. But what is that trench that we have as we seek God? What keeps us? What's that? You know, and the irony is, as we talk about, you know, whether or not we agree about someone, you know, building a wall, I think, if we were all honest, we've all built a wall around our heart. And, you know, when you talk about the trench that's dug within our heart. But, I remember a time, if I could, where I was asked to speak at a youth film camp. and they wanted me to speak about social justice. And I talked to these kids. I said, you've got to take my eyes beyond that which my eyes have seen. And I started describing to them this friend of mine who is in his 50s. He'd been in prison for 19 years, and he was homeless. And I described him walking down the street. I said, what do you see? And they said, oh, I see someone that's lazy, I see rough, he's a bum, he's all of these things. I said, okay. I said, now, let me tell you, what if I told you that when he was 9 years old, he began to be molested by every single one of his family members? They would lock him in a trailer in his backyard without food for 3 or 4 years. And that's how he started life. And then he kind of, you know, went into life not trusting anyone, not feeling anything, nothing. I said, now, let's fast forward to that guy that I was describing to you a few minutes ago. Now what do you see? And I don't know. I think it's a perspective thing, and I think that's the power of grace. And as we look, we need that grace to help us dig out from that trench that's dug within our heart. And I think when we taste it, we begin to allow our eyes to see past what our eyes have seen. We begin to see people and heartbeats that can be.
I'm going to interrupt both of you because we're about ready to run out of time to simply ask you guys, because I'm going to bring it back to us, you know, to look at someone that's homeless for 19 years and has been molested at 9 years old, which is, of course, pathetic. Nobody wants to consider those realities to anyone. But today, for us, for the good old American evangelical Christian who is dying to jump in to the game and yet is maybe in isolation on the sidelines, do you think, and I'm going to close with this question, and then you guys can close with prayer when you're done in about 4 minutes. Do you think, as Christians, we're having a hard time telling the difference between living a real life as a Christian and living or thinking as a Christian? In other words, what would a real life as a Christian look like? What would my life look like if I was living a real life as a Christian in real life?
I think I'll start because I got excited listening to you guys talking about the trenches in the heart. Actually, Bono picked the perfect word. The trenches is the perfect word for what he's trying to express there. Because what is it? What do you dig a trench for? Well, you dig it for protection. You dig it to hide. You dig it to so that nothing comes. Nothing sails over and hits you, you know. So it's that whole isolation thing again, and it's being protective, and it's it's fear. I'm in a trench because I'm afraid, and there's bullets going over my head. You know, come on, that's what's going on. And what does it mean, you know, to not have a trench? It would mean to be vulnerable. It would mean to be out in the open. It would be out in the open and take whatever comes because that's what a Christian looks like. I mean, that's what Jesus was. He was open, shared himself completely. His weaknesses, he suffered and died on a cross for it, you know.
Gentlemen, I'm going to interrupt you now because we're going to be off in about a minute. I want to thank you, Gunnar, for joining us. You can reach Gunnar with his thoughts to the horizon at Gunnar, GunnarSonsCen. It's called Thoughts for Horizon. You can Google that. And then, of course, you know John, and you can reach him at thecatchjohnfisher.com. Thank you so much for being a part with us tonight. John, would you close us in prayer, please? You've got about 1 minute.
Well, thank you, Lord. Teach us, Father. Teach us humility. Teach us your grace. And help us to each one experience what it means to have your grace placed upon us and then to be able to then turn and treat everybody the way you have treated us. And may we walk as real Christians. I ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you again, Gunnar, for being with us. And John. I love you, Gunnar.
Let's do this again. We're going to do a part two. You're listening to the
Barbara Walters is signing off.
Connecting life to faith.
World is trying to get it together. Trying to help their fellow man. Hoping we can make